Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
But there's so much life in the kingdom of God. There's so much power in the kingdom of God. And you and I are in that kingdom. The place where the life and the power is, that's where we live. And so today I want to teach about the kingdom frame. Say the kingdom frame. And this is from the series, Change Your Frame, Change Your Life. And this is part five. Again, the kingdom frame. On the screen there is a scripture below that title. I want you to read that with me on the screen there. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We're going to say this a few more times today, because that's the central theme of our message today. The power that works in us. Say the power that works in us. Make it personal. The power that works in me. And that is a kingdom frame. Now, in this series, we taught you that frame speaks of frame of mind. Sometimes we frame how we look at things. We've said often about, we say inner city. And well, we all bring a frame to that word, that phrase. And so to some it means, broken families and messed up men and all that and crime. That's the frame that some bring to the phrase inner city. I don't see it that way at all myself. My frame is all the best things are in the city. Some make that frame out to be the worst part. Even if the city, if that part of the city is gentrified and people moved out, new people move in, build the condos, they stop calling it inner city. But it's the same place. Why did you change from calling it inner city to a preferred neighborhood? Because the frame changed. See, people, we bring our frame to everything. And then most of all, we frame ourselves. We see ourselves a certain way. And that can be good or bad. We frame pictures on the wall, our diplomas, family pictures, vacation pictures, artwork. We frame what we view as important. And so we ourselves are in the frame. Well, when you change your frame, you can change your life. That's the whole point of the series. If you change your frame, you will change your life. You believe that? Now, today we're going to move forward. Ephesians 3 is our text today. We read part of it. Let's go back here again and read the whole part, the whole two verses together. Ephesians 3:20. Read, please. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever, amen. That's a great text. In a text like that, what you want to do is spend some time reading, of course, the whole context, the whole chapter, but then take some time, just take in what the Apostle Paul was saying to us, saying to the church, to the Ephesians and all the believers in Christ. Now, over the years, we've been teaching about the kingdom of God. Often, I've taught every year, we teach something about God's kingdom several times a year. But today I want to bring this teaching of the kingdom into the series we've been doing on Change Your Frame, Change Your Life. Now, there are over 6 billion people in this world. But only a few of them know why they exist. People we've all been framed by our training as children, by our surroundings, by our friends, by our schools, and much more. We've all been framed by all the influences of our lives, good and bad. But all of this, all of your being framed in your training and upbringing is part of your growth and development. But at some point, we as believers, we connected with Jesus and his kingdom. And then that changed our frame. And so that because of this connection, your purpose is now related to something bigger than yourself. You know, we grew up, we all began as children with the attitude, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. You know what I'm saying? That's how we start out, you know. It's mine. Then we grow up and we're trained, no, share that. That's not yours, that's his. Share this. That comes in. Our frame changes, right? We learn how to share a couple of things, you know. But at some point, when you connect with Jesus and the kingdom, everything changes. Everything changes. All your other frames, all the things you learned are rolled in to something bigger and better than you ever were before. And that's what being part of the kingdom is being about. And the kingdom is about is that we get to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Yet it is part of us. See, it's bigger than us and it is us. It's good, isn't it? It's bigger than us and it is us. It's called the kingdom of God. And so this kingdom frame is what I want to talk about today. The kingdom frame of mind, the kingdom frame of life is our most meaningful. In fact, next slide says this. Our kingdom frame is our most meaningful and purposeful frame of life and mind. Now, we have a lot of roles in life, a lot of important duties and tasks, but this frame, this kingdom frame, is the most meaningful and the most important one. And so, in many of the scriptures that we read in the Bible, even the ones that don't necessarily use the word kingdom, they're all about the kingdom, right? All the Word of God points to God's kingdom in one way or another, because God's kingdom has always been here. It's just grown. It's changed, right, over the ages. And now we're in the present kingdom with Jesus as the king. And so the kingdom frame is so key that we would grasp and understand that. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, in this chapter, the Apostle Paul revealed his insight and purpose, or his kingdom frame. When you pay attention to what Paul is saying, he's telling you what his purpose is. He's teaching us how to have purpose. So this next text here, this is kind of long and kind of small on the screen, so turn to it if you have to, Ephesians 3 and 8. You can see it yourself in your own Bibles there, but I'll read it. But Paul said this. This is Paul giving us his kingdom frame. He says, to me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God may be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. That's a whole lot of truth there. So Paul is telling you what he's about. He's saying that God saw fit, though I'm the least of all in his own mind, to give him the assignment to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God. Now, also, Paul revealed that not only was God reaching to the Jews, but also the Gentiles. And God came to break down the wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. So Paul's assignment, Paul's kingdom frame, was that God's kingdom is bigger than the Jews. But it includes the Jews. It's bigger than Israel, but it includes Israel. So Paul had the assignment to preach the kingdom that had come to a place under Christ to be inclusive now of everybody who wants to come in, whom God calls. That's the big change that the church brought, that the Apostle Paul preached. And he said that to the intent or the purpose, that now the manifold or many, the many-sided wisdom of God. See, God's wisdom is not one thing. It's many things. There's many sides to the wisdom of God. You hear that? Many sides. And so that's why I remember, I mentioned that Earl Johnson time told a story. He was in class as a teenager. Teacher asked a question. He raised his hand. He answered the question. Teacher said, thank you. She said, anybody else? He said, wait a minute. I answered that question. Excuse me. No. She said to him, no, that wasn't the only answer. You don't have the only answer. Sometimes what I have isn't the only answer. There's many sides to wisdom. Amen. You look at a mountain, and that mountain looks one way to the person looking at it from the south. From the north, it looks a different way. From the east and west, it's again different. It's the same mountain. It looks different from many sides. So the many-sided, the manifold wisdom of God is like that. But in this world, in life, in circumstances, there's often more than one answer. So the many-sided wisdom of God, that's why we need to be in the kingdom. Because in the kingdom of God, he'll show you other sides of things. Pastor, the church ain't right. The church you see is not right. Oh, God got some people who actually serve him with all their hearts. They are full of hypocrites. Well, if you leave, then we'll be better. You know what I'm saying? If you get out of here with your hypocritical self. So listen, there's no perfection in and among people. The perfection is in Jesus. It's in the kingdom of God. So the many-sided wisdom lets us see other ways of dealing with something. So important. We'll come back to that later on. So this is what Paul, God gave Paul, he called it the mystery. The mystery, listen, a Bible mystery is not something hidden. It's something revealed to those who have ears to hear. Right? A Bible mystery isn't something hidden. It's something revealed to those who have ears to hear. Now, those who don't have ears to hear won't know what it's about. So it's not a mystery like, you know, a mystery novel. Okay. Now, the first kingdom was God and his creation. So going back to Genesis, going back before Genesis even, there was God and creation. And so that's the first kingdom, and that it was invisible mainly. No one was there to see it. So God began with himself. You know, God is all sufficient. I am that I am. Doesn't need us or anybody. But he chose to bring up and introduce a family. He wanted a family. He wanted to put his heart, his life in people. But the first kingdom was God by himself and his creation. And of course, he brought Adam and Eve and the animals and all the other things came along in what we call now the visible, natural kingdom. Now, again, in our devotional, we're studying these principles. And in the book, The Kingdom Revisited, by Miles Monroe, then he gets into all these things. So again, get the book and read that. Now, Ephesians 3:17, here's some more. So Paul said this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height. And read verse 19, please. This is important. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So then we understand that the reason God wanted a kingdom of people, because God is love. And love is about people. Not things, people. It's about family. It was love that caused God to expand the kingdom by creating mankind, man and woman, with all the flaws, with all the shortcomings we have. He created us in his image and likeness. And so now we come forward and we see the progression of God's kingdom. We see how God dealt with Noah and Abraham, Moses, the Hebrews. We see all that in the Old Testament. We see the progression and growth and development of the kingdom of God. Then came Jesus. Then came Jesus into that same kingdom. And he brought it to a whole different level. So what we have today, the present form of the kingdom today is because of Jesus. In fact, the kingdom is now where God always wanted it. Amen. With Jesus, redeemed people. People outside can come in now, right? Those who have sinned can be cleansed and transformed and brought into the kingdom of God. And so that the church, see, the church is not the kingdom. The church is part of the kingdom. Before there was a church, there was a kingdom. Before Christ said, I'll build my church on this rock, before that day came, there was already a kingdom. So the church is the ecclesia, the called out ones. The church is like a task force. We're a special force. The kingdom of God has progressed, you see, to this present form. And so now, so Paul said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, there is the whole connection point of the kingdom of God is love. It all works by love. Faith, hope, and love, greatest of these. See, love. So love is what connects this all together, make it all work. Because without love, there's no motivation. I mean, without love, many of us who fellowship in this church and different places, I mean, y'all would never be friends except for the church. You're too different. You got too many differences but because of Jesus and the love, here we are in the kingdom, in the church, in the same church, loving each other because we're rooted and grounded in love. Now, if a person is rooted and grounded in their feelings or their attitudes or their opinions, it's no go. You can't go very far. If my wife, you know, she's rooted in what she thinks and what I think. Like I told you, when you get married, see, things have to change. I told y'all that. You know, my thing was a single man at night, windows open, lights are on, music playing, and I'm in the bed asleep. That's how I slept. Then Pat come along. So then she wanted quiet and dark. So we compromised. Now it's quiet and dark when I sleep. You know why I did that? Uh-huh. No, listen, love. That's right. Love moved me. And plus, her way was actually better. Yeah. I slept better. You know, when you're young, you can get by with stuff. Uh-huh. When you get older, everything, you got to just dark, sleep, no sound. But because we were rooted and grounded in love 42 years ago, I had enough sense to do what was necessary to please and bless her. And so that's why we come to the kingdom rooted and grounded in love, and we can change. Say, I can change. Because of love, not because of preference, because of love. And then he says to comprehend, this is heavy, the width, the length, in other words, 3D. We can love in 3D. Have a sense of depth and height and width. And then to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So all the stuff I'm saying, I don't even understand fully how it all works. I'm just glad to have it. Don't you thank God for things you have and you know how it works, amen, but you got it? Amen. I've got the vaccine. I don't know how it works, but I got it. People say, I'm not going to get it. Why? I don't know what's in it. If they told you what was in it, you still wouldn't know. So you better just have faith in God and confidence in experts. That's where we said that last time I spoke to you. All right, let's go on here. So understand that Jesus brought the kingdom to its present form, right? Jesus brought it into the form that God can use the kingdom now and the church to transform lives and to bring unsaved people into the kingdom by the church. Now, Ephesians 3, now it closes back to our opening text here. So then the whole chapter, it closes again with this powerful affirmation. Let's read it again, please. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, I love this phrase because I want you to understand that all the power that has accrued in the kingdom of God has been vested in us. All the power over all the generations and centuries and people God has used and dealt with, all that power and ability has vested in us. I mean, us collectively as his people. Now, we are part of God's kingdom. And watch this. This is important. Now that we're a part of God's kingdom, God doesn't want to function without us. In the beginning, again, a kingdom of one, God. But now God doesn't want to function without us. So all that power, he says, so Paul wrote, according to the power that works in us. So all that God is able to do and wants to do, the exceeding abundant power above all we ask or think, all that power, he said, it's according to the power that works in us. I mean, us collectively. Now, that's an important thought, because that's not what the kingdom of God was like before Jesus came. Before Christ could come with his spirit and change our lives and take out the sin nature and give us, we had no capacity to hold and have the spirit of power. I mean, all kind of power. We'll talk about that here in a moment. Not just supernatural power. In fact, I'll say it now. Matter of fact, make this point to you right now. That this, when I say power, I'm not only talking about supernatural power. Of course it is that. But it is every kind of power from God, which includes ability and skills and favor and privilege, understanding and knowledge. All of these are types of power as well, not just supernatural power. So God has given us grace to gain over our training. See, God's been with us, you know, obviously our whole lives. So your education, that was the will of God. That's why, you know, back we've read history, we know that one of the things that slaves were not permitted to do is to read. Don't let them read or go to school, because they may find out they don't need us no more. So part of the bondage of slavery was don't let them read. Because and they gave them, listen, they gave slaves versions of the Bible with scriptures taken out. There was a Bible, they had a Bible without stuff like, you know, you're saints of God, and you're the righteousness of God in Christ. They take out everything empowering, so those who could read and had a Bible didn't see the scriptures that would empower them to throw off bondage. So that's a different discussion. The point is, in the kingdom, and slaves were in the kingdom then, see, it was always God's plan for everybody to have not just supernatural power, but every kind of power. Amen. Say every kind of power. Amen. Please get a hold of that. That was kind of news to me, okay, that we talk about the power. What kind of power? Every kind of power. Supernatural power, economic power, amen, wisdom, financial, Every kind of power. Every kind of power. Say every kind of power. Say I've got every kind of power. So the power that works in you isn't only the supernatural power, it's every kind of power. That's why, listen, y'all, that's why believers are the best at what we do. You get a kingdom power empowered person and put them off into education or business, huh? They'll maximize all the training they receive, plus the supernatural power. And so they can bring to their profession, or to their world, to their home, to their community, they bring all the power that works in us, of which, of course, God's power is most important. All right, let me go on. Now, let me throw this word out to you. Critical race theory. Now, I'm not going to go deep on this. You've heard about it, probably, CRT. And right now, evangelical Christians speak down on CRT. Now, yeah, I'm going there. Hang on. Because CRT is this, in summary, critical race theory is the view that the law and legal institutions are inherently racist, and that race itself, instead of being biologically grounded and natural, is a socially constructed concept that is used to further the economic and political interests of majority culture. Now, I won't say more than that, but to say, basically, when you call out people who don't want to be called out, they're going to go back and say, oh, no, that's not a biblical worldview. That's not of God. Going to the moon ain't of God. Doing coronavirus vaccinations is not a biblical thing. Criminal justice and mental health therapy is not necessarily biblical. But listen, y'all, we're talking about the power that works in us. I'm talking about kingdom. Say kingdom. See, some folk only talk about church. I mean their church. But the kingdom of God rules over all. And in the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, everything is up in there. Even some bad stuff in the kingdom of heaven. That's a different discussion too. The point is, God is big. He really big, okay? He big. He bigger than what people are talking about. So critical race theory doesn't have to be something that's a part of a biblical worldview any more than other things, psychology and criminal justice. I mean, see, this thing of Christians thinking that everything got to have a scripture, or everything got to line up with what I understand about the Bible. No, no, no. Because the kingdom is bigger than your church. God is using all types of things to help people. Our specific assignment in the gospel is to preach the gospel, win souls. So when Christians try to go over into areas in which they don't have expertise and training, then that's a problem. Let me give you this next slide. This is make my point clearer. Watch this. Too many Christians seem to think that if they show up with Jesus in their hearts and a Bible in their hands, that they are equipped to handle and resolve problems in our society. No. That's going to rub you the wrong way, maybe. They need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. You need Jesus. The person that said it, you need Jesus too. So don't bring that. Because if I got to watch my time here. Because it really, really concerns me when people think, I know Jesus, I got a Bible, I'm going to show up over there and straighten that out. That's like going to a person who says, I'm a Christian doctor and I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but let me see all your credentials. Let me see your board certification. Let me see, you know what I'm saying, somebody? I want to see everything. But don't put a title ahead of expertise. That just scares smart people. Putting your title ahead or your station ahead of your expertise, you know, no. People who need help from people who are trained to help them. And so just showing up with Christ in your heart and a Bible in your hand, that's what you do on the mission field when you want to preach and do a crusade and have altar calls and win souls. But dealing with situations in life and conflicts and systemic racism, all that kind of stuff, you need more than that. I know the power of scripture and truth, but I know the power of expertise. And you do too. You will let people talk about how much they know God. You say amen, but you'll look for somebody who got expertise. You'll listen to somebody who talks. But you'll look for somebody who knows what they're doing. What is a Christian? Based on everything you've seen in your whole life, what's a Christian? Because you know, and I know, folk who've called themselves Christians have done all kind of weird stuff. So thank God for Christians, but let's follow Christ and leave all the front and face behind. Let's follow Christ. And let's be a Christian in the truest sense of the term. It's so bad now we have to qualify. Well, he's a born-again Christian. He's a spirit-filled Christian, right? Because you find a need to qualify. Because most of us were Christians before we got saved. Y'all still here? You go home. I was a Christian, then I got saved. Now, how's that work? I'm being pretty strong on this point because I've seen the bad fruit of people saying they're Christians without following the Lord Jesus Christ. And without being strong in the kingdom of God and following kingdom principle and living that way just to call ourselves something and not live the principle, that's our problem today in our world. All right. Let's go on. Now, the power that works in us is not a substitute for the expertise we gain in this world. All right. So then the power we have, supernatural power, I'll say in this instance, doesn't substitute for expertise. We're going to have to understand and appreciate more that expertise need to be gained in whatever we're trying to do in life. Expertise. Say expertise. So when you have Christ and are part of God's kingdom, all the powers and expertise are maximized to work in you. See, it all comes together. Power of God, all the expertise, whatever God's allowed you to gain has been maximized to work in you, and by this means you can make a positive impact in the world. Now, I look, for example, at Dr. Kelly. What's the name of the organization? Policy, Law, what's it called? Children's Policy and Law Initiative of Indiana, okay. Now, I've looked at them pretty closely, and wow, that's an example to me of expertise and then the kingdom of God in the people who are members of that thing and how what they do, what they come up with, what they implement. See, it's like to me, it's the perfect blend of the powers, all the powers that are available. And even though it's not expressly about preaching, it's an extension of God's kingdom. It's social justice in the best use of the term. And listen, if we, the church, could understand that our mission is manifold, like manifold manifold wisdom. All of us don't do the same thing now. All of us don't do the same things. Amen. I mean, the body is not one part, but many. So when we appreciate all the facets of the church in God's kingdom, and that all the powers and expertise are maximized to work in us, we can get some stuff done around here. We can help a lot of people. Rather than just say, okay, he needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus, including the person that said it. Amen. So then, the kingdom frame, then is a really good mindset, because it helps us to appreciate what we have, what others have, how God can use other things, other people as he sees fit. Now, the power we need is not limited to supernatural power. I've been saying that. Everything God does is not supernatural. It's not. It's the best part, salvation and healing and miracles, all that. Thank God. But everything is not supernatural. Everything people need is not received by a supernatural act. You understand that? We need everything working with power. See, I need everything working with power. I mean the power of God, the power of wisdom, power of your training, the power of wisdom that God can send someone into your life. I'm always picking on Nikki over here because I'm proud of her. So now in Nikki, you know, I said 10 times, you know, she ran for school board, but she couldn't even walk. And won. And then she lost all that weight. Now, that wasn't all the supernatural power of God. All that she been through wasn't all. It was all the powers maximized by the kingdom of God within you. Please get that. Again, the opening text we said again, he said here, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. What power? Every kind of power. Every kind of power. Because God is manifold, many-sided. God doesn't just do one thing. He does many things. He does them all well. God's got people. God can even use people who don't even know him yet. God can use young godly people for his own purpose if he wants to. You can't rely on them always, but God can use them. I heard a story one time. So there was this person at their house who was praying, had a deep need. They needed more food in the house. The person was praying, Lord, bless us with more food. You know, this person and the children, Lord, help us, bless us, Lord, with provision of food. And a neighbor kept hearing hearing her pray this prayer. Her open windows, he heard the prayer. And so he just said, oh, I'm tired of this woman. So then he bought a whole bag of food and dropped it on her porch. So then next day he heard her praying, Lord, thank you for bringing the food. So then he came over there and said, that wasn't God did that, I did that. She said, Father, thank you. You brought me food and made the devil bring it. Hallelujah. You brought me some food and made the devil. It was still God. He thought he did it. And try to make her feel like it wasn't God, it was me. But said, God can use people. It's God has all kind of power. He has all kind of power. Say, God has all kinds of power. Matthew 6 and 10. Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth, some versions say in us, as it is in heaven. That's part of our prayer. We pray the disciples' prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's a daily prayer for us. That his will is done in earth among us and in us as it is in heaven. And this is our kingdom frame, right? Our kingdom frame. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done And sometimes we can't figure out what God's will looks like. But just keep on praying. He'll show you. Because it may come in unusual ways. Again, God has manifold wisdom, many-sided wisdom. And the way I think he's coming, he may not come that way. He may come from this way. I'm looking this way. He's coming from this other side. Because he's God. He's big. All right, a couple questions for you. And this lesson, by the way, is today's expanded form of the devotional for today. Here's the question I'll ask you. First of all, why is God's power working in you more than supernatural power? All right? So we acknowledge God's power is supernatural, but why is his power working in you more than or other than supernatural power? Why? Because, again, we answer the question, many-sided wisdom. God is not limited to supernatural. Number two, what are the powers that work in you? What are the powers that work in you? And I would suggest that depends on what you do. So if you're an educator, then education works in you. If you're about crafting public policy and trying to shape how people perceive children, like Dr. Kelly's doing, that's a power working in her and that group of people. So, I mean, you just look at what you're doing. If you're in the customer service, that's a power. If, you know, you write and produce, I write books and all that, you know, that's part of my power. With a kingdom frame, if you love and follow Jesus, you can see God working in your life all kind of ways. And the thing is, when you love Christ and follow the kingdom, if you can't see God working, then, you know, I shouldn't be in that. That's something that I shouldn't be into that if God isn't working in that thing. I'm not saying God uses everything. No, he doesn't. But certainly what is fruitful and what is blessing you and others, oh, that's the power of God. That's part of the power of God. Let's all stand. Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, and stirring in us the remembrance of what your kingdom means to us, how Jesus has ushered in this new kingdom, and how, Lord, that we as followers of Christ, Lord, that we have been blessed to have so much. And our assignments are so different, Lord God, and some will only preach. But, Lord, others of us will preach and do other things, Lord, because your kingdom rules over all. And you've got people in every place they need to be doing your will, exercising your power. Lord, thank you for the power that works in us, all the powers, all the expertise, everything working, Lord, as you see fit. And Lord, thank you that we understand that our connection to Christ, our fellowship with Jesus is the key, Lord, to these things working the way they should. Thank you, Father God. We're going to get beyond and move beyond and stay beyond that immature notion. Just showing up with the Bible is going to change everything. Lord, no, we're not going to live in that simplistic mode. We're going to devote ourselves to you and then based on what you assign us to do, then we'll gain the powers to do those things, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, that what Paul said was true, that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To you be glory in the church, by Jesus Christ, to all generations, all generations, Lord, old and young alike. You can use every person who follows you, who's part of your kingdom, Lord. There's a place, there's an assignment for every one of us, Lord God. Thank you for giving us grace to walk in the blessing, to walk in all the powers that you've given us to benefit others, in Jesus' name. Amen.